Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is going on in the sky above us. Here we go, one of those little monkey things. There we are. So, how is everybody doing today? Hopefully, you're all doing well and you're expecting a wonderful weekend. Today's what we would call Friday, right? We're all excited that we have the end of the work week and that we are getting ready to roll into the weekend. And hopefully I can help you walk through the energy of the weekend as it seems to be what I would call bouncy, bouncy weekend as things are moving through some tricks and some treats. There we go. It's almost like Halloween, trick or treat. Some of the things that are happening over the weekend have ramifications far into the future, as in till the end of the year. And so we'll want to know more about that and kind of take the temperature of what's happening around us as we go into this new energy. So let's take a look and see who might be listening to us already. Nobody's checking in yet. I did start a little bit early, so that was because just trying to get all these things taken care of, right? In the morning, I got so many things to do. It seems like I was almost late. And now I'm on time. I'm hoping I'm actually broadcasting. I see myself. But we had to change the stream a little bit. It looks like it's working. So let's carry on. So what we're going to do today is talk a bit about what the energy is of the day today. And then we'll take a little bit longer look at what goes on tomorrow, as Saturday is the most energetic day of the weekend. And then we'll take a look at Sunday. Sunday's not so bad. It is still a little bit busy, a little bit wonky, but not a terrible expression of energies for that day, to be sure. And as well, I want to read in our Rosie Aronson's book, The Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, about where the Earth is sitting. Yesterday we read about Sun at gate 52, and today we'll read about the Sun at gate 58. And that should round us out for the energies in, for human design and the gene keys for the weekend. So good morning, Taylor Jenkins. Hey, it's great to see you out there. And Destiny Clark, good to see you as well. And anybody else I see that is watching that hasn't yet checked in, let's go ahead and dive into what the energy is of the day today. Of course, all day we have the moon in the sign of Virgo. We are... it's funny, we here in the morning, we often quote songs, even though I can't play them because of copyright infringement. But today we're quoting another song, Taking Care of Business. Can't even tell you who sings that, except I remember that song. And it is a great mantra for the day, because with the moon in Virgo, we also have a trine to Uranus, and we have a sextile to Mercury, who's in retrograde. So both of these energies kind of give us this ability to get things done, right? Tapping into clearing off our desks or cleaning out the closet, letting go of things, maybe moving through the junk of your world. You know, we're transitioning into summertime here, full on summer. Maybe it's a time to get rid of some of those clothes from winter, put them away or let them go. So today's a great day. Now, early in the day is the best time for us to work to finish up business things or to organize and to catch up on anything that you've got left. I've been doing this actually for the last day as things kind of slowed down for a moment so I could catch up, slowing down to catch up only to then ramp up so that we can then maybe find a day to slow down and catch up, and then things will ramp up. I mean, that's kind of the path we're going to be leading for the next couple of months. So you might as well get used to it now. Grab those moments when you can that allow you to do that catching up. Later in the day today, when the moon comes into an opposition to Neptune, things can get a little bit unclear and a little bit confused. So it may not be the best time as we move later into the day to get work done. So get it all done early. And then the last part of the day, you can just sit around and play, chillax, right? Watch a TV show, sit out in your yard and enjoy the breeze. Just do something that is more relaxing in nature, because if you try to force yourself to be on point for something, it likely is going to blow up or somehow just drive you crazy because there's so much disclarity. Anytime you have the moon, which is our emotional self, in an opposition to Neptune, the planet of spirit, but also of sort of the veil, right? The where things can just be so not real clear, fog, right? Fog is something that Neptune rules. Then, you know, it just perfectly spells out the idea that we just don't need to be getting activated in something because it might not happen the way you think it should happen. And that can be very frustrating in the end. So let's take a look back and see if we have other people to say good morning to. I think there's something lagging in the system this morning. And I don't know what that is, but I'm just going to keep on going here. So today in our Pleiadian Earth calendar, what we have is the energy of five planting. Now, five in the Mayan and in the Pleiadian Earth energy was an energy of change. So universally, because this is a universal number, universally we have this energy of change and movement happening today. So literally we are on the move. Things may be changing in our world. We may feel forced even into making some change or moving, but it is paired with the sign, with the earth sign planting, which in the Mayan calendar was Kan, K-A-N. And it is something that is refreshing and new. It's a seed planting earth sign that we have for the day. And it was also related to luck. So change today is refreshing and lucky. So being stagnant would then seem to say that you would be maybe not in the flow, not in a refreshing phase, but a stagnant phase, and maybe even missing out on luck. So don't be afraid to move and shake and move and shake today. Movement toward the new, to the untried, right? Something different, something unexpected. Today's a day for luck and opportunities and for surprises and the unexpected. So being open to that helps you to connect with something that is maybe more than what you usually could expect. And on top of that, remember our umbrella energy for this week was enlightening. And enlightening would be that things would happen that could enlighten us today when we move, right? When we move, when we refuse to stay stuck. And so that is the high point of the day, literally, is that there's the possibility for luck, opportunities appearing as if by magic, enlightenment coming to you in some form, maybe a revelation of something that you've been, you know, kind of struggling with. But that is the kind of day that we have today. So surprises, luck, opportunities, movement, taking care of business, right? All kinds of really good energy for the day today. I'm going to check again back here. I just feel like something has happened in the stream of things. Maybe not. Good morning, Tati. Good morning, Natasha. She says, I am sending the universal love to all. And look at all those little emoticons. The little fairy one, I love it. Butterfly, hearts, etc. Angel smileys. So good to see you guys out there. I was feeling a little bit like I was in a void here this morning. I wouldn't be surprised. I felt like that when I woke up this morning, sort of not out of sorts, because I wasn't in a bad mood, but I just felt like I was a little bit out of time or out of the grounded part of the earth. Like I was still caught up in the time between, the space between. Okay. So that is our Friday. Nothing huge, nothing really terrible at all. All really good kind of transits, as long as you don't dig your heels in and refuse to go with the flow. Or how did I put this? I put this as the energy of the weekend is about flowing with the go, flowing with the go. Today, we sort of get a glimpse of that tomorrow for sure, as tomorrow, Saturday, the moon is still in Virgo as we get up in the morning, and then it runs into the void from, now this is West Coast time, from 1:02 p.m. until 1:17 p.m. So it's at a 15 minute void, which is good because we just got through a 2-day void. So it's nice to see just a very short one. For those of you on the East Coast, that means from 4:02 tomorrow until 4:17 p.m. you will be in the void. And after the void, what breaks the void is the moon moving into the sign of Libra. And in Libra, then we begin to see, this is late in the day. So for, especially for those of you on the East Coast, for us here in the West, it's more just the, you know, middle of the day. But then we begin to have a series of contacts that the moon is making to planets from Libra. And I'm going to show you my chart now because I want to show you why this happens. And let's see, there's the chart of the day. And now I'm going to share it, share my screen. No, not that one, this one. Here we go. So now you're seeing this chart of the day today. And here's where we have our, that's Aries, Libra, the opposite sign. This is where the moon is going to be moving to as we move into tomorrow. Today, right now, the moon is still in Virgo, but tomorrow we see the moon transition into Libra. Well, Libra is a sign that is squaring or challenging or challenged by planets in Capricorn, planets in Cancer, and opposes planets in Aries. So even though at this point in time, Libra is sort of the empty space, which, you know, tends to tell us that some of the more balancing and the more balancing energies lie in becoming more balanced, right? Becoming more fair, becoming more in harmony. That is the one space that we're missing, is that in our charts. And when the moon moves through here, then it's our opportunity from Saturday, Sunday through Monday to be able to harmonize the energies in our lives and to become more willing to be balanced, right? To not be so tilted in the way that we look at things. So tomorrow, while we have Libra as the moon sitting here in early Libra and late Virgo, what we'll have is a trine to the planets Jupiter and Pluto in Capricorn, and that's actually going to happen before the void. And so we get this trine aspect, and that means that we're still flowing pretty easily with the energies of change and regeneration, and, you know, still being able to really get some things done. And then we also have, after the void, so later in the day, an opposition to Mars, and then a trine to Saturn and a trine to Venus. So we have some more kind of kick you in the butt energies later in the day. And so I thought before we take a look at the next big thing that happens in for tomorrow, Saturday, let's take a look at what the moon in Libra can open up for us, what kind of opportunities there are for us. The moon in Libra, of course, squares Capricorn and opposes Aries and squares Cancer. I just showed you that here in this chart. And that means that there's often, when the moon goes through this sign, there's often challenges that are sort of popping up everywhere in different areas of our lives. So because these are three signs, right? So four signs, if you count Libra itself, and then you've got Cancer, Capricorn, and Aries. So, you know, there's four places literally in our lives, in our day-to-day experiences where things can go wrong or can get upset, or where we need to find balance, or where we need to bring equilibrium or harmony to. And that can mean that we feel a little stressed and we feel a little bit out of sorts as the day tomorrow wears on. So it's good for you to understand that part as well. And then moon in Libra rules our relationships. So marriage, or significant others, your business partnerships, and how we share our energies within those relationships. And so harmony, important to bring to your relationships, right? The idea of peace and beauty and art are also high in our list when the moon is in Libra. Fairness, balance, equality, negotiation, tact, diplomacy, the ability to counsel and take in counseling. are all a part of the moon transiting through Libra, as well as teamwork. And here's where I always come up with the three C's of Libra: collaboration, cooperation, and co-creation. That is what the moon will be bringing us. Emotionally, we want to work together. Emotionally, I think we even understand that this divisive nature that has been in the on the planet here for a long time, I can't even, maybe since 2016, has maybe even before that, has really caused us to get out of harmony, out of equilibrium, out of peace, right? It's taken away our peace. And one of the things that we need to understand is that in order to move forward in this life now, we have to become more team oriented. We have to become more collaborative. We have to become more cooperative. And that means we have to work together to create win-win situations. They're not going to just happen as if by magic, although I would hold out that hope that that could happen. But I think the real magic is when we decide to cooperate instead of hold on to our own opinion or viewpoint without yielding. The real magic happens in collaboration, where we come together and unify a path forward for whatever it is, right? In politics, in our culture, in our homes, and in our finances, in our families, etc., on and on. So we have that real possibility that we really show up as co-creators of the reality when the moon is moving through Libra. It is also a very social sign, like the other air signs. Gemini and Aries is also a fairly sociable sign. It's more extroverted energy. It is concerned with how we get along in conversation and in relationship with things like diplomacy and tact and getting along, right? It's, can't we all get along? And getting along means that I may not always get everything that I want, but if I'm willing to share, then we can cooperate more. It all kind of goes in together, doesn't it? We have to watch out for a couple of things. Anytime the moon moves through a sign, we have something to watch out for, and that might be codependency, behaviors that would seem appeasing, giving away too much of yourself in the process of collaboration, cooperation, and co-creation, right? There's that spectrum, you know, of giving too much away. What we're looking for here is interdependence, right? Independence is a part of that as well, but really how we are all interdependent. And then part of the other things to watch out for is the waffling nature of decision-making when it comes to Libra. They can see all sides of things, right? That Libra energy, maybe we're suddenly able to see all of the sides of the outcomes of something, an action that we might take. So that can create or feed into indecision. And every time I get to this, the one thing I can tell you is your human design holds the key to how you make the best decisions for you. And if you remember that, even in the face of indecision, it will help you make the best decision. And sometimes the best decision is not to make a decision right now. That may be the case, depending on what your human design authority and strategy is. And of course, I guess the best debaters out there are Librans, right? As they can see all sides. They, you know, the best debates I get into are with my Libran son. I watch my sister and her Libran son get into debates. It's really kind of funny to see it happening. But it's because there's this ability to tap into all of the viewpoints and to bring them all in and to see if there's a way to move these together in some new way, right? To create a new tapestry, take the different pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, put them together into a new whole. And that is partly what feeds into that aimless debate, right? Sometimes you can debate it to death. So watch out for that. Your kids may be the ones that show you this energy, right? If you're someone with younger kids or maybe even teenagers, right? They can keep going and going and going and throwing things at you and doing things, saying things, you know, bringing up the next point that seems like they're perfect at, you know, triggering all of your little holes and all of your little weaknesses. And that may be a part of the issue over the weekend as well. So what you do? Well, you say, we're going on to something else now, right? Or walk away, right? Sometimes it's better to walk away from that kind of aimless debate. Now, in the body, the sign of Libra rules the adrenal glands and the kidneys. So the adrenals actually sit on the kidneys. And so what we can see sometimes is the result of stress, right? And remember, this is the week where the gate 52, the lowest expression, the shadow expression is stress. And stress comes from many different angles, right? From worry, from, you know, circumstances, from struggle, from fear, etc. So the adrenals take that. When your body goes into that kind of worry mode, the adrenals create more stress hormones to help you move through and stay alive during that stressful time. The problem is that when you have an elongated period of time, like we've been living in, of stress or stressors, where the craziness of the world, the effect it has on your personal finances or your personal world and your family and all of those things come together in a perfect storm of stressors that can create burnout, right? And can create, you know, disease or disease pathways. So we want to be very careful that we don't burn ourselves out through those means, you know, worry or anxiety, et cetera. Or doing too much, pushing ourselves, pushing the river, so to speak. So this will be something that we're going to have to really watch out for, because also tomorrow, Mars, the planet of action, our warrior god, warrior nature, conflict, confrontation, dynamic motion, courage, action, all those principles are seen in that planet Mars. And he moves into Aries tomorrow, which is a sign he rules. And therefore, he is empowered to bring more of that energy, more of that confrontation, more of that action, more of that sort of conflict and struggle up to the surface. And in Aries, Mars will be opposing the moon, right? That's one of the keys to tomorrow's energy, is that right after the moon moves into Libra, Mars is also in Aries and creates that opposition between the two energies. And we've often called, again, maybe I need to go back to my chart here for a moment and then share the screen. Make sure I'm on the right screen to share. There we go. Every sign has an opposite sign. So Aries' opposite sign is Libra. Virgo's opposite sign is Pisces, and Leo's opposite sign is Aquarius, and Cancer's is Capricorn, Gemini's is Sagittarius, Taurus is Scorpio. So they comprise an axis of energy, not just a one sign kind of energy. In fact, a lot of the negative traits come from an imbalance in this sign from its opposite sign. So, we have to always be aware that there is energy flowing across an axis. Even though we have maybe Mars in Aries is also going to be a call for us to bring in more Libra to quiet that conflict. And every axis also has a sort of theme to it. And the theme across Aries and Libra here is love and war, right? Love and war. And that just means that, you know, likely we're set up for a summer and a fall, because this is going to be an extended period of time of this constant moving back and forth between love and war, of conflict and struggle and action versus peace and diplomacy and tact. And it's going to be an interesting time, such an interesting time that we're going to be moving into. So I'm going to stop sharing again. Go see how everybody's doing over here in YouTube. Good morning, Asa. Good morning to J-Lo. Weird, I'm a Libra. My kids are not happy when I see both sides. That's because they're Leos, aren't they? They like their side. Natasha, my kids had problems with that too, J-Lo. Taylor says, LOL, I feel that. My mom is also a Libra. that's true. Asa says, yes, I am a Libra. My daughter, Taylor. I love it that mom and daughter are both on this morning. I like that. J-Lo says, I'm okay if they don't like that. Is life on Earth? And how many degrees is Mars going into? I have Chiron. Mars will be not into Aries 24 until late in the summer. just before it goes into retrograde is my guess, because he retrogrades at 28 degrees of Aries, I believe it is. And so your natal Mars Chiron is going to get hit three times, right? It's going to go over once, it's going to come backwards over it, and then forward again. So the time period for you to really consider that at its most crazy is likely the very end of September, or let's see, September 9th, it goes retrograde. So the very end of August, and then later in December as well. So you might have a couple of times where things are craziest for you, J-Lo, or where the wound is really triggered. I don't remember how old you are, but you, I don't think you're to your Chiron return yet, are you? Yes, who signed me up for this? You know, when I think sometimes, you know, we get a little bit nervous about Chiron, and we don't necessarily need to. I mean, Chiron is here to teach us how to heal ourselves, right? To heal those wounds that we have. And it can be just uncomfortable, right? There can be discomfort around the idea of dealing with the wound, processing the wound. But the bang for your buck is that you come out on the other end cleaner, clearer, with a more pure intent, feeling better, feeling more centered, more calm about who you are. So it can be, you're 45, so you're not, yeah, so you're still, maybe this will be more of a, maybe it's the end, right? It's the culmination point. If you look at how your life has been wounded, and so then your wound might be about self-sufficiency, standing up for yourself, living your life on your terms, being courageous, maybe being too impetuous, maybe cutting off your nose to spite your face at times. So that Chiron wound is maybe coming to a culmination point where now you can see the results of the times where you have been buying into self-sabotage and not being, you know, your true self. And now you have this opportunity to really correct that and to start really living clean and clear about who you are. So literally, it's a very empowering process. Let's put it that way. Kimberly, good morning to you. And J-Lo says, kind of like a dog when he sees you have a cut, they always try to lick it. Right. That's funny. They do, because the dogs lick their own wounds and have remarkable healing power in the doing of that. I'm not sure how that happens, because we always think of a dog's mouth as being, you know, very germy, but they heal their own wounds that way sometimes. So something good in their tongue. Now let's look a little bit more at Mars in Aries. As the next few days, weeks, and couple of months go by here, we're going to take a look deeper at Mars in his retrograde form. He's not retrograde yet, but he's spending an inordinate amount of time in Aries. So we better get used to this idea of the conflict and confrontation and all of those energies, right? From June 27th, tomorrow, all the way until January 6th of 2021, Mars will be in the sign of Aries. And that's because he's moving through his retrograde phase from September 9th until November 13th, 14th, depending on what time zone you're in. So that's literally 2 months worth of slowed down motion of things moving backwards, action-wise, maybe some things that you have to look at, you know, in order to be able to move forward again. And then he'll move forward. Now, while he's doing that dance, he is triggering all kinds of stuff. He'll be in a square to Saturn. He'll be in a square to Pluto and Jupiter, and he triggering them at least two times during that once forward and once backwards and then forward again. So we're going to have to really get good at dealing with stress and dealing with all of the craziness that is the world at the moment. Because Mars is very much at home in this sign. This is a sign he rules. How does that affect you? Well, we personally become more spontaneous. We become more courageous, more energetic. We expect almost that we get drawn into more competitive spirit, or maybe other people are trying to compete with us. We can become very single-minded and focused on something. Remember, Libra as the opposite sign of Aries would mean that we would need to learn to balance and harmonize those actions, that we really need to understand when we're pushing versus when we're needing to wait. And this is a fighting spirit. This is not a shy violet kind of energy. This is a very dominant and fighting energy where impatience and arrogance and impulsivity and being self-centered also come up and rear their ugly heads in the ugly way, right? So we have to know that we're working both ends of an energy here that can be very good for getting things done, for moving things forward, but it burns. It is fire. We have a fire planet in a fire sign, one that he rules. So fire is a very likely kind of energy you'll be experiencing. That can be passion, that can be love, but it can also be anger and upset and that conflict. So for at least the next few months, we're going to be learning a lot of Aries, Libra, Cancer, and Capricorn energies once more, because we haven't learned enough yet about how to work those angles and to get them all into a more peaceful place. We're working it, right? We're working it. So over time, we'll talk about the timing of these events, what to expect, how you can move through it. But we might as well start practicing now. We might as well start really focusing in on human design, understanding your type and how your type and how your human design predisposes you to make decisions, how to take action, how to take right action, how to be available to the right people in the right time for the right opportunities. So you're going to hear this theme coming up from me for the next several months as we really get good at understanding who we are through all of this, quite volatile energy. So nothing to be afraid of. To me, I almost feel excitement. Maybe it's an adrenaline junkie feeling that I'm getting right now that, people are going to be excited and are going to be maybe a little overly emotional, a little bit overly active, and maybe doing things that skirt the edge of safety and getting a little bit risky out there. But for the most part, we need this kind of energy to drive things forward. We just need to be able to consciously drive things forward and not be in the unconsciousness of it all. And then just to add some fun to tomorrow's energies, the Pleiadian Earth energy puts us in the number six, moving, six moving, six moving energy. This is flowing with the go, right? I told you the theme for the weekend, I could call it flowing with the go, kind of a play on going with the flow. This is about flowing, just allowing the flow to take you wherever it needs to take you, and then take action when necessary or when required of you. But until then, don't be afraid to move, right? The moving part of this energy can become, it breaks up any places where we've become stagnant. So it doesn't like stagnancy, it doesn't like to be caught up and stuck. But also, Mars and Aries wants to go and can sometimes do too much, go too far too fast. So we need to go with the flow and just be able to work with this energy, be in a Zen state as much as you can over these next couple of months. And again, I'm not going to leave you alone in all of this. We will definitely talk about all of these different modes as things pop up in our world. J-Lo, I actually spoke up for myself yesterday in a post. Yay, you. Then we have, oh, I'm not sure this is in Cyrillic or Greek. I'm not sure. It says, I'm a Libra. Your name is, in other words, I'm not sure what your name is that I could speak. I'm Libra. My ex-husband is Aries. And oh my God, just tuning into this broadcast and you started to speak of what is actually going on between us. It's a love and war thing, right? It's a love and war thing. Now, you've heard the saying opposites attract, right? There's something very appealing across the axis in our zodiac. So if you're an Aries, there's something very appealing about Libra. If you're a Gemini, there's something very appealing about Sagittarius. If you're an Aquarius, there's something very appealing about Leo. And so often we're attracted to the opposite to a person with the opposite sign. But that also means that what you're seeing reflected back to you from that person becomes very important, because it might tell you more, give you more insight about what it is that you need to work on within you. Because often in, you know, in a fight between two people, what's going on is that there's one or the other, or maybe both are, you know, speaking a call for more love to be interjected into the relationship. But often we don't know how to go about getting more love. So instead we blame, or we guilt trip, or we, you know, start a fighting match. And what we really need to do is stop in the midst of all of that and look in the mirror. What is that other person showing you about you? When you hear yourself blaming or yelling at somebody, you're really yelling at yourself. You're really fighting with yourself, because your relationships are really just mirrors of a facet of you. And I know that that's kind of a difficult concept in the moment, in the heat of battle. It's really hard to look at what it is that is really going on. But if you can step back and become more objective rather than reacting, see, I think that's another thing that we're going to be having to really work with over these next several months, is the energy of reaction versus responding. In responding, you take a moment before you yell back, or you blame, shame, or become a victim in some way, and you breathe, and then you choose what you're going to do in response. And unfortunately, often in this kind of dynamic, we're reacting, right? We're taking that arrow and we're just shooting it right straight for the heart. And one of the things we must learn then is how to really take some moments and understand, what are we seeing out there? Why are we seeing that? What does it remind us of? Where did we learn? Because these are learned responses. Where did we learn to behave that way in a relationship? So maybe you need to go back to your parents' relationships, to your most significant relationships in your life, and understand more about what's going on. It's all about understanding yourself more and giving yourself and others more and more love. It's always a call for more love. But unfortunately, in the heat of the moment, we don't see it that way. So we have to become more aware, more conscious. I hope that helps some people. J-Lo, yes, it does happen. I am a Taurus and my ex of 17 years is a Scorpio. It was a bit crazy at times. Mm-hmm. I would bet, especially because Scorpio does have a tendency to live out three different levels in their lifetime. The lowest level being, of course, the Scorpion, where there's that passive aggressive nature, and the Scorpion stinging itself and sabotaging itself. Stinging others, right? Coming behind you when you don't see it, that sting. As they move through maturity, they become much more able to rise up to the level of the eagle, or even reach to the point of the phoenix, where they completely transform their lives. But it's going to take a patient person in some respects to stick with a Scorpio, a Taurus, to stick with a Scorpio in the midst of those changes going on. There's a lot of passion there, a lot of sensuality, a lot of sexuality that can be expressed, but also a lot of that backstabbing, passive aggression. Kamal, good morning. He says, I'm Leo and my fiance is Virgo. Is it a good idea to tie the knot? You know, that's only one aspect of each one of you, right? That you're a Leo and that she's a Virgo. Most, you know, on the surface, I would look at that and go, that's dicey. But we have Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They are the same thing. She's a, maybe reversed from you guys. She's a Leo and he's a Virgo. They seem to be getting along quite well. And likely that's because there are so many other aspects in the chart that we need to look at. For example, well, we would need to, Kamal, to look at the nature of the seventh house in your chart and in hers. We would need to look at Venus in both of your charts. We would need to look at Mars to see how it is that your energies work together or not. So lots more to look at than just the nature of Leo and Virgo. So am I going to say, yeah, you're going to succeed or fail? Nope, not going to do it, because there's just not enough information there for me to say that. But I would say this, that Leo likes to be the center of attention and Virgo likes to be in a position of serving, taking care of, healing. So it's a possibility that the relationship could get one-sided. So you need to remember to give as much love and affection and make her the center of your world as she would be willing to make you, to give you love and affection and make you the center of her world. So it could take some time, you know, for you guys to really understand one another. How to plan a reading with you. You would go to my website and I can put that in here. And there are, first I would start with a reading about you, and likely human design could be a part of that. Living-astrology. It's hard. Did you know it's hard to type with things on your lap? And .com. There we go. So there you go. Go to my website and there are human design readings. And you could also even just get a report on your natal astrology that, you know, if finances are an issue, you could do that. It just gives you some insight into who you are and to who she is. And that is very much more affordable if that at the moment, obviously if you're planning a wedding, there's probably a lot of money going out. And Natasha, funny, not really funny, in the heat of the moment, my go-to mantra is, what is this here to teach me? When said a few times, it helps me shift my perspective from victim to lessons. That's a great way to look at that. You know, that's using the mirror of what's going on, you know, around you as a way to see, what does this mean to me? And, you know, in a way, guys, and gals, when you do this, it releases you from the hold that that energy has had on you in your life. If you find yourself always in a relationship where, for example, you get cheated on, or where anger always erupts over finances, or where you seem to take in the people that only need you. They don't really love you, but they need you for your money, for your time, for your feeding them, housing them, etc. The common denominator is you. And the processing then of what's happening in your world helps you to see yourself more clearly. Once you do, it's almost like magic in that it releases the hold that all of that has had on you. And then you're clear to move on in a new way or in a more empowered way. So there's real purpose and real meaning and real help in actually doing that kind of work for yourself, for your partners, you know, mostly for yourself. Right? Because what's good for you, as you evolve and grow and become more conscious yourself, the people around you almost have to line up in your aura in that same way, or they will choose to leave because like attracts like. And so if that's the truth, and I know it is, if like attracts like, what are you attracting to you? Right? What are you attracting to you? And if you don't like what you're attracting to you, you gotta look in here, because that's where the attraction is beginning. Because remember, you've got that identity center in your human design, and it is a one-way magnet, and all it can do is attract to you the circumstances, the opportunities, the people that are here to teach you something, to move you ahead in your evolution of consciousness. So again, we can never blame other people for the situation that we find ourselves in, because it's never anybody else's fault. It is all a part of your learning, growing, evolving in this particular lifetime. So there we go. Let's do a quick Sunday, and then we can start doing a couple of readings. Sunday, we have our first crisis point in the moon's transit. The moon in Libra will come to a square with the sun. This will be the crisis of action, where there might be some boulders in our way. There might be some obstacle that has shown up in our movement toward an intention that we set. And we may have to do what I said earlier. What was it? Flowing with the go, where we may have to move around, flow over, make a new channel, go a different direction. But at least at first, we often greet that with some irritation or some letdown that, you know, wow, maybe I'm not really going to get what I desired, or maybe this isn't really going to happen because of an obstacle. Don't give up, right? Don't give up. It just means that you need to change or adopt something new or different in order to get to where you want to go. The moon is also squaring Mercury retrograde that day, so we may have to slow things down a bit, go backwards a bit, reevaluate that intention, that goal, or that what is it that you wanted to manifest? And maybe there was something that wasn't quite clear in it, right? That you can get a moment to clarify. So now the other thing going on Sunday is Mars in a sextile to Saturn retrograde. So initially, at least, that energy of Mars that is very active oriented, that is act first, think later, slows down, right? So we slow down the burn of Mars in Aries on Sunday to a more deliberate course of action. And I think that gives us an insight, right, to how to work with this energy over the course of the next few months, because we can be more deliberate in our actions, and being more deliberate sounds to me a lot like response, right? Thinking first, or considering where you are before you take action. We could be more aware of the value of slow and steady pace than a quick, jumping out of or jumping into something. We can be blessed with better judgment, right? That is, I think, a takeaway from Sunday's energy that we can take with us all the way through this Mars better judgment, right? What does that mean? It means being in your right mind. The energy for the Pleiadian Earth is 7 transcending on Sunday. So that means we're moving, we're in that portal, right? We're at that halfway point where we entered into the picture at one enlightening, right? Where the light bulbs are going on, where something new is dawning on us, and we're moving through that. We're now at the portal, or the halfway point, halfway to completion, to enlightening energy. But we do that on Sunday through transcending. That means we're getting over something. We are letting something go. We're releasing ourselves from something so that we can move ahead, right? Moving ahead. All right. So not a crazy weekend, maybe a little crazy, maybe not a bad weekend. I think it's one where there may be a lot of internal dialogue going on, a lot of internal pressure you may be feeling. We still have a ton of planets in retrograde. And when we have that pressure, you know, isn't from so much the doing in the outer world, but the pressure for us to do something from within. So evolving from within, right? That's what we're meant to be doing. All right. Now, I practiced a bit yesterday with my Mayan Oracle cards, but let me tell you, it is a deck that is deep. Ursula, I don't know if you're out there this morning, but you know, sending me that deck was amazing. But it isn't, you know, one that is for the weak of heart, because it really calls it like it is. And I was flabbergasted the first reading I did with the cards yesterday, because there was so much truth there, but it's also a longer read for the card. So I can do fewer readings in the next 10 or so, 15 minutes that I have here. So I saw that Debbie requested a reading. J-Lo, did I see you ask? No. Okay. I better write these down. So J-Lo, Kamal, Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, maybe I didn't even see that for you. Sometimes Asa. Please remember we're not alone if you believe. Taylor, I'm so excited for this deck, she says. Okay. I don't, Kamal, I got you. Okay, good. So I'm going to start. And I think what I'm going to do for everybody is start with the Mayan Oracle. If you're opposed to that, please tell me in the chat before I get to you. And then I could change that before I get to it. But that is what I'm looking at right now. And here we go. Look at just to give you an idea, the book for it is this thick, right? That tells you it isn't a, you know, quick read. Like my Colette Baron Reed decks, I mean, there's a lot of really good information packed into just a couple of paragraphs. But, you know, this is pages of... So, let's do it. Debbie Tibbetts, you were the first one that I saw out there that wanted a reading. So, I am going to pull... I'm only going to do one card rather than a spread. If multiples fall out, I'm going to just choose the top. so that I can, you know, get some more. Now, Debbie, I want you to focus on a question that you need the answer to, or something that's been bothering you, a question you need that from your soul level that you need answered. And I'm going to pick that up. And what comes out, and remember in these cards, there's three types of cards. There are lessons. I think that's what they call them, lessons. And then there are the numbered cards, right? Like in our Pleiadian Earth energy, there's the number. And there's also the Earth sign card. This for you, Debbie, is a number, and it's called Universal Movement. It is Movimiento Universal. So now I have to find that in here. So just a moment. That's also going to slow me down because I'm not as familiar with this book. So here we go. Again, get a look at the card. That is, I think, the number 13 in the Mayan system, 5, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yep. The 13th tone calls forth the greater pattern. The hand of fate beckons and then catapults you free to journey home. Here are the qualities of this number. Expect a miracle. Wild card, unseen forces, unexpected change, flexibility, open system, touch of destiny, interdimensional shift, and a galactic wave rider. Oh my God, I love that, Debbie. That gives me the best picture for you. Galactic wave rider. 13 is the ray of universal movement, the foundation of self within the foundation of essence self, combined with the rhythm of the Trinity. 13 is the number sacred to the goddess. Evoke this grace. It is your birthright. 13 touches you with the hand of unseen forces and radical change. Drawing this card alerts you that whatever is resisting change, is unexamined, or is stationary, is being catalyzed into movement. Drawing this number indicates that something unexpected is coming, something that may dramatically change the course of your life. You are being touched by fate, moved through identifications of ego self into open consciousness. Olin, the Mayan goddess of movement, asks you to surrender to the perfection of the larger pattern of your essence self. From the perspective of surrender and trust, what movement is being called for now? Pay attention to synchronicities and seeming coincidences that jump into your awareness. 13 provides the possibility of a radical frequency phase shift, offering you limitless new openings. Become a Skywalker. Be open and flexible, allowing changing reference points to become dynamic allies, open to the workings of destiny offered by universal movement. Drawing this card says to be on the alert for a miracle. Whatever you have been offering in positive energy toward the realization of your dreams and vision is being actualized in receiving 13. This indicates the coalescing of the quantum potential of a miracle into its realization and fulfillment. Wow, that's a lot of words. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of good stuff there, Debbie. I love that for you. So cool. Now, let's go to the who was next after Debbie? It was going to be, I put it on the back. There we go. It was J-Lo. I'm going to pull you one too, Jacqueline, because I know that you will like that. I know that you will like that. And again, Jacqueline, this is yours, J-Lo. Please focus on something that's important to you that you need an answer for, something that you really need some guidance with, and let the cards do their magic and bring up that for you. And you get the card Xuan. Xuan was the monkey. It is one of the earth cards or day cards. There we go, Xuan. You see the stylized picture of a monkey. And Xuan. So Xuan. And let's see here. These are the longer ones. And I don't know where Chichan. I see you. There's also something in this book that I really, really love. And it's that every one of these kinds of cards comes with a magical child story or poem. And I just find that fascinating. So here is the reading. Now, this is a longer one. The day cards are longer. So bear with me, okay? I'm going to take a drink of water here. All right. The Discoverer. Xuan is the Discoverer. The silver circle of the dolphin ring reminds us that, I'm assuming is in here in the back, reminds us all to dance and sing. Light hearts, Levin loves awakening. Light hearts, Levin loves awakening. The divine child heaven to earth will bring. It's kind of a poem. Xuan, the monkey trickster, breaks down structures, images, and beliefs that no longer serve you. Xuan invites you to act in spontaneous and unpredictable ways. Lighten up. Smile. Don't be so serious. Believe in the magic of the moment. See what is revealed in spontaneity. Enlightenment doesn't have to be difficult. It can be delightful. Drawing this star glyph gives you fair warning that the monkey trickster may step in and turn your life upside down. What is conscious and desires change is at risk. Excuse me, let me reframe that. What is unconscious and desires change is at risk. This experience can appear chaotic or overwhelming. Remember that there is perfection in everything that happens. As your walls tumble down, a smile is revealed and the illumination of your essence self shines through. Maybe that's why you brought Leos to you into your life, J-Lo, for that smile, for that joy, that excitement, that passion. How might you bring more humor and fun into your daily life? Explore your concerns with creativity and playfulness rather than trying to rationally think the solution through. An answer may sneak up on you when you least expect it. Paint your face with the improbable. Be the clown. If you are in a difficult situation, amplify it to bring out the humor. When things seem too complex, simplify. Bring out your divine child and let him or her dance, draw, color, sing, laugh, and play. These activities are for divine children of all ages. The only moment is now. Live your dreams and visions, seeing everything as sacred and by nature delightful and joyful. As a divine child, walk the path of innocence regained. No matter what has happened in your life, there is a place of innocence that was never touched. That is the divine child. Peel off illusory layers of concern and simply reclaim your wholeness. Reveal once again the trust of your heart. Remember, as a divine child, you have nothing to do or be except to embody the simple presence of love. Sorry, must be warm in the room. The fan just came on magically. Here's the shadow wisdom for you. I told you this was long, so hopefully you're sticking with me here. The shadow wisdom in this card says, there are several facets to Xuan's shadow. One is the wounded inner child. Has your inner child been hurt by social and parental expectations? This shadow asks you to look honestly at your sensitivities and how you may have developed coping patterns and emotional reactions in self-protection. In drawing this glyph, you are being encouraged to find means to heal your inner child. To begin the healing process, consciously express deep emotions and issues as they come up. The other steps will naturally evolve out of your choice to break old patterns. Xuan often steps unexpectedly into your life with a disruption of that which no longer serves your evolution. At first, this experience may be disturbing, but it offers transformation as well as new perceptions and outcomes in your life. Another shadow of Xuan is not seeing humor in your present situation. Do you think joy and laughter are created only outside of yourself? What truth could you be avoiding to speak? Take a look at the spontaneous truths or hidden issues that may be expressed in your jokes. Are you withholding your truth to hide your awkwardness and vulnerability? How might feelings of inadequacy or fear of being judged come into play? This star glyph also asks you to look at how you might use humor to avoid, hurt, judge, deny, or to tease others. Do you use humor to project issues onto someone else? Be direct in vulnerably expressing your feelings. Be open-hearted. Be the magical child who risks saying what is really on your mind. Bring forward a childhood dream or vision you may have forgotten. Look at what your true desires and impulses are actually trying to show you. Be willing to be vulnerable, authentic and to tell your truth. When you do, be prepared for unexpected outcomes. And when your sense of humor...
Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye for now.